welcome to the stage the luscious Dakota McLeod. Yay!
Is everybody happy? Is everybody happy? And everybody scream! Now you can do better than that. Everybody scream! All right. People, keep on learning. While the soldiers keep on learning. Now this world will keep on turning. It won't be too long. I said it won't be too long. Powers keep on lying, and the people, they're still crying. Now this world will keep on turning. But it won't be too long. Said it won't be too long. So God, let him live and try it again. Last time on earth I lived the horror of sin. So darn glad I know more than I knew then. Gonna keep on trying till I reach the higher ground. Keep your hands on. Get here, y'all. Lovers, keep on loving. Believers, keep on believing. And now you sleepers, just stop sleeping. Oh, but it won't be too long. Yes, that's what I said. It won't be too long. So damn glad he let me try it again. Last time on earth I lived the whole world to sin. So darn glad I know more than I knew then. Gonna keep on trying till I reach the higher ground.
Dakota McLeod. You are finally starting to come out of your shell. Hallelujah. Speaking of women of power and the power of music, sharing the. Wasn't yesterday International Women's Day? Holla for women. We wouldn't be here if not for them. Let it sink in. We have been taken to a higher ground and to all of you online. Hey, hey. We're glad that you're with us through the ethers. And you guys rock. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, family. You guys look amazing. You look beautiful, every single one of you. Leo, the Barbie thing was just brilliant. I wanted my own plastic convertible. I mean, that was so brilliant. It was great. I mean, Barbie and Becca together again. And that is one of my favorite restaurants in the city. Robert, at the top of the museum there at Columbus Circle. So I just love these times when we get to get together like this on a Sunday. And I have a really fun thing. I have to share this with you. Last week after the service, somebody gave me a rogue cell phone. Who gave that phone to me? Are you here? Yes, yes. And so, you know, I was being extremely codependent, trying to reconnect the person with the phone. Like, is it yours? Do you know anybody? Do you recognize the picture? And I was going through that, and I thought, I've never seen the person coming up. And of course, I couldn't get into the phone because I didn't have the code or the thumbprint or face or whatever. So I thought, you know, I think this is probably somebody from St. Michael's because it was over there in one of the cushions. So I went to the front desk and I asked Carlos, I said, has anybody been looking for a cell phone? He said, no. I said, well, I'm going to take it with me because if I leave it in the office for the next day or two and the battery dies, this person may never get reunited with their phone. So Lewis and I actually took it with us, and sure enough, somebody called, and it was somebody calling the phone, and oh my God, somebody called, they were calling the phone. Take that in. Of course. If it weren't for women, we wouldn't be here. I'm here all day. Anyway, that's duh. So this guy, we're like, is this your phone? He said, no, it's my friend Garrison. It's like, Garrison, that's an interesting name. Okay, well, we want to reconnect the owner with the phone, and we're going to be way downtown in Battery Park, and do you know where they live? And they live near here on the Upper West Side on Central Park West. And he said the address, and I'm like, well, that's a nice building. So anyway, we did reconnect with the person, and yeah, it was really wonderful. That's not even the best part of the story. So he said, I'm going to take a cab downtown. And got downtown. I went out to meet him, give him the phone. And this man, now I'm not judging, I'm just assessing. Okay. So this man, I thought, okay, I'm wondering if this is really his phone. I wanted to make sure because he looked like he might have had a really long brunch with bottomless mimosas Sunday or something. Not judging, assessing. He looked very disheveled. And so I gave him back his phone. And this is amazing. And he wanted to give me a tip. He had these little bills. And I said, no. I'm just being codependent, wanting to reunite the owner with the phone. He said, no, this is for the church. I said, okay, right. So I got in the elevator, and I thought, oh, well, there's two bills here. It was $150. Mm-hmm. It gets better. It gets better. So the next day, I'm doing a little Facebook hit drive-by, and John Cantrell, who's back there on sound today, he's the music minister here at St. Michael's, I see a picture of him with this very mimosa disheveled man on stage. They're doing a performance together. And he said, oh, I had the honor of doing a duet with Garrison Keillor. I'm like, well, and my first thought was, I thought he was dead. You know? So anyway, so you never know. Acts of kindness, you just never know. So I was able to reunite Garrison Keillor with his phone, and he gave Unity of New York $150. Look at that. So my wise Uncle Brian, I haven't talked about him in a while. Very, one of the wisest people, biggest influences of my life. When we were growing up, he used to ask us, what one thing we learned that day, and did we do a kindness for someone? Did we do an unconditional kindness? So last Sunday, I learned Garrison Keillor is still alive. Right? Yeah. It's on the second floor. Yeah, that's who got out of the cab. And I was like, give me proof that this might be your phone. So anyway, So anyway, the act of kind was reuniting him with his phone with a little help from Lewis. So there's that. And 2 weeks ago today, my talk title was Watch Your Mouth. It was about the power of our words. I talked about the power of our words, and I challenged you that we're here to be impeccable with your word, which is the first agreement of Toltec wisdom in Don Miguel Ruiz's bestseller and very useful book, The Four Agreements. I shared that the topic was sparked by an email or two that I had received that had kind of rattled my cage. And as I was processing that, the second of the four agreements came up to me, which is don't take it personally. So when I was contemplating what message might be needed for us here today, gathering together, and the muses were not speaking to me in a timely manner, and I'm like, Sunday's coming, girls, come on. You know, the other day, I had a little moment where I took something personally, and I went, thank you. So I think we need to revisit this very powerful concept that can literally change the way we approach life, especially those times when we're feeling a little misunderstood. I don't know if you've ever felt misunderstood, but don't take anything personally. And you may, bless you, you may very well be thinking, yeah, easier said than done. Well, duh, no kidding. I've already taken something personal twice today, and it's, you know, just after 2 o'clock. So, but you know, we all know it can be tough when someone says something that feels like a personal attack. Or maybe you're just having a rough day and everything feels like a blow. I get it. But here's the thing. We're going to explore how this idea ties into something much bigger and how it connects to our second unity principle. What is our first unity principle? Anyone? Oh, that sounded so churchy. One power, one presence, and one person in my life. There is only one power and one presence in the universe in my life, as the universe has my life, God the good. One power, one. One, can't be two. Does it ever seem like there's another one? No, never. And the second principle is, basically, our essence is of God. Therefore, we are inherently good. Or as it, let me see, it officially says, I have so many different renditions of this, slightly altered. Our essence is of God, therefore we are inherently good. I just said that. God. Women, yay. This God essence called the Christ was fully expressed by Jesus. Now, when we can understand this, really understand this, we realize that we don't need to take things personally because at our core, we are divinely good. Let's be real for a second and talk about the realistic challenge of not taking things personally, because we're living in this world where we come together and we remember absolute truth. There is one power. There is one presence. That is the truth. That is the truth. And we're living in a world of relativity. And it's not an either or world. We're living in all of it together. A to Z, Alpha, Omega, you know, it's all together. So we know when somebody cuts us off in traffic, or one of my things is when somebody plays chicken on a New York sidewalk. It's like, who's going to give? We're both claiming our space. Who's going to move? We're getting closer. There's going to be a crash. or speak to us, someone speaks to us in a way that just feels like a verbal attack, it's easy to take it personally. It's easy to think, what did I do? Aside from possibly having a knee-jerk reaction that we regret. I would never do that. Only twice today. But what if, just what if, their behavior has absolutely nothing to do with us? What if it's a reflection of their own worries, their own stresses? They're even simply having a bad day. Whatever they might be going through, their stuff is their stuff. But when we take it personally, we let it affect our peace, our joy, our very divine essence. Remember what Don Miguel Ruiz says. It's not about you. So like last week's talk was, or 2 weeks ago, watch your mouth. Today is, hey, it ain't about you. What others say and do is always a reflection of them, not of who you are. And this is not about a blame game. It's not that thing of cleverly twisting it around. Oh, thank God it's your fault. We're not talking fault. But they're not attacking. No one's attacking your essence, because your essence is of God, and God don't blame, right? And like anything else, it takes practice. It's part of a spiritual practice. And we are reminded all the time, if we don't practice, it's a hit or miss situation. Of course, one of my favorite analogies, you go to the gym one time, you get in shape, and that's it for life. Yay, hallelujah. We practice this stuff. It's one of those things that it can feel like trying to ride a bike without the training wheels for the first time. You end up wobbly at best. Do any of you old timers, I mean, we've been here almost 26 years. Remember one of my favorite book titles in the history of all time by the author Terry Cole Whitaker? What you think of me is none of my business. Isn't that just the best? What you think of me is none of my business. Over 30 years ago, hearing that title alone had an immediate impact on me. And still, I fall short at least once a day. Already twice today. But when we make it a goal to stop taking things personally, we start to regain control over how we feel instead of letting somebody else's words or actions define us. I'm going to say that again. Take a breath. When we make it our goal to stop taking things personally, we start to regain control over how we feel instead of letting someone else's words or actions define us. So let's dive into this second unity principle for a minute. Because here's the good news again. Your essence is divine. No matter what happens on the outside, nothing can touch your inner truth. Nothing. Your essence, the true you, is made of God. And that means you are inherently good. You are already whole and pure and filled with love. So really take that in, because you, my friends, every single one of you are made of love. You're made of love. You may not always act like it, but you're made of love. Truth. You have the Christ essence inside of you, just like Jesus did. Hallelujah. In the book of Colossians, that's the Bible, don't be scared. We hear that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And that's not just a nice poetic line. It is the absolute truth of who you are. And guess what? No bad day, no critical comment, no misunderstanding can ever, 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 ever take that away from you. When we begin to live from this truth, from this reminder, this reality, it changes everything. Suddenly, we can let go of what others say and do. And we can love ourselves more fully. We can forgive ourselves for those moments when we did take something personally. Let ourselves off the hook and say, great reminder, I can do better. We all have those moments. And I know that you do because you're here. Because you have a pulse. Because you are here, meaning you have not ascended yet. So I know that you go through this stuff too. But here's where I want to clear something up. Not taking things personally doesn't mean we let people walk all over us, right? Right, thank you. For the rest of you, I'm going to say it again. Not taking things personally does not mean we let people walk all over us, right? Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story. Just between the 60 of us. Okay. So some of you probably remember a dear woman who, she passed many years ago in our community. Her name was Shaya. Shaya was Indian. She was as Zen as you can be. And I used to lovingly tell Shaya she was the most unaware, aware person I had ever known. Because she would be so Zen, she would show up late for things, always with bags that made noise. So we'd be like, we might be in a meditation on Sunday. She's in her sari. She walks all the way down to the second row of symphony space, goes into the middle, past people, puts her crinkly, crackly Duane Reade bags down. She's so zen, she has no awareness of what's going on around her. So one time I was teaching a class, this is years ago down on 23rd Street, and there were a lot of people. There were like 60 people in this class. And Shaya came in late. She walked to the back with her crinkly bags, and she found her seat. And I can remember the topic that had come up was when we find our way to unity, we find the tribe, we're going, oh, yes, I have sought this out. I'm here. I'm in. I'm all in. And then there are people in our lives that don't fit anymore. And it's hard. It's hard to let those relationships go when it's like we're just not on the same page or wavelength anymore, and I'm discovering and excavating what is really important to me, and our thing is not doing it. So we're having this conversation. Everyone's sharing. Hands are flying. And Shaya kept trying to interrupt. I'm like, Shaya, raise your hand. Okay, so she interrupted one time, and I said, Shaya, there are four people ahead of you. Then you get to share. And so it came to be Shaya's turn. And she said, yes, but we are only here to love. And I said, you're absolutely right, Shaya. And we're not here to be divine doormats. We're here to love. She did, without skipping a beat, she reversed the process. She picked up her crinkly bags. It seemed like it took 5 minutes for her to walk all the way out of the room. I'm like, we'll talk later. And some people were mortified just watching this in slow motion, going, oh, God, Britt's kind of a smartass. What's he going to say? I was like, yeah, Shaya, she's good. She's good. But you know, when I first heard this in my 20s, this that we're only here to love, and we can't really, until we love ourselves, we can't love someone else. Oh, yeah, well, back in my 20s, I thought, oh, no. No, the more I ignore myself and put it all on you, the more it shows that I love you and care about you. Anybody else ever been there? And then Melody Beattie's book came out, Could Have Been It No More. Screwed that up for me. Ended up in therapy, but found my way to unity. But we are not called to be doormats. Jesus, as the Christ in expression, full of love, also set boundaries. He didn't let people abuse him or take advantage of his kindness. He called out injustice when he saw it. And he wasn't afraid to speak up for what was right. Jesus was not a wimp. He flipped those tables over. Yeah? Yeah, in the temple. We are called to live from a place of love, yes, but also from a place of wisdom. You might hear something about that next week from Reverend Becky Bean. It is okay to love people and still say, you know what? That is not acceptable. That behavior is not acceptable. And then you walk away with your peace intact. You don't need to take it personally. You just say, that's about you, not about me. Work through it. And I want to emphasize this because it's easy to get confused. Love does not mean, again, that you stay in unhealthy situations. Love means you honor your boundaries, you protect your peace, and you stay true to your divine essence. Think about, Steve, we said our mission and vision statements earlier. What is our vision statement? A world consciously unified in love that leaves no one out and invites everyone in. So let's be clear. That's very much what we stand for. That is our vision. It doesn't mean once you get into the house, you can tear it up and set it on fire. That's not what we mean. The doors are open to all. When you're having a bad day, or as Weezer in Steel Magnolia said, I've been in a bad mood for 40 years. Think about the story of Job. We're back to the Bible for a minute. Job went through so much. He lost everything. He lost his wealth, his family, his health. And in the middle of it all, people around him said, Job, dude, I wonder what you did to attract this to yourself. You must have really pissed off God. This must be your fault. But regardless, Job, despite all the suffering, and he suffered, he refused to take it personally. He didn't let his suffering define him because he knew that he was not the sum total of his circumstances. Can you imagine? I mean, I know it's a story, but can you imagine losing everyone and everything who was dear to him, his family, his animals, his property? He was in constant pain, covered in sores. So when you think you're having a bad day, consider Job. And the truth is, we sometimes feel like this, don't we? And we sometimes feel like this too often to count. Job's story is a powerful reminder that life is just hard sometimes. And it might feel like the universe is out to get you. But here's the thing. It's not personal. Life happens, but your essence remains unshaken. And you, just like Job, can keep your faith, keep your peace, and rise above it. There's something that's really important that is not always the easiest thing to grasp, especially as it can sound so divisive to say, it's not you, it's them, it's their stuff. But here's the thing. Second principle, we are all connected. We are all children of God. All children of God. Our first principle in unity again. If there is only one power and one presence in the universe, and as stated in our second principle, we are all chips off the old block of God or spirit or love or divine or whatever name works for you, for all that is, for that higher power, then we are all children of the same divine source. All of us. We can't be separate beings. And when we remember this, we can remember that someone else's bad day or harsh words or judgments aren't ever about us. It's a reflection of whatever they're going through, of their journey, not of our worth. And when we remember this, we also have the power to respond differently. A couple of weeks ago, I encouraged you, taking the power of impeccability of our words into consideration, to try on taking a pause before responding or before reacting. I even mentioned, you have no idea how much she's with me. This is my dear friend, Kathy Grant. And she's my favorite pauser. And I mentioned her that day that if you ever had alone time with Kathy, you had her full undivided attention and she would pause before she responded to something. And I just always just had the utmost admiration for that. Because it can be so easy to go, oh, I got so much to say. I want to get this in. And Kathy's like, grasshopper, let me think for a moment. Where am I? Kathy Grant, threw me off. Ooh, there she is, right? But instead of reacting with hurt or anger, we can respond with love. And imagine if every time someone tried to bring you down, oh, now I'm thinking of Wicked. I just went totally there. Bring me down. Call me Cynthia. There we go. If you responded with love instead of taking it personally, imagine how much peace and healing would ripple through the world. And again, that love has to begin with ourselves. I want to share this just a little short piece from Alice in Wonderland that really spoke to me about this. Do you love me? Alice asked. No, I don't, replied the white rabbit. Alice frowned and clasped her hands together like she did every time she felt hurt. See, replied the white rabbit. Now you will start asking yourself, what makes you so imperfect and what you did wrong that I can't love you, at least a little? Because you know, that's why I can't love you. You won't always be loved, Alice. There will be days when other people will be tired and bored with life. They'll have their heads in the clouds and they will hurt you. Because humans are like that. Somehow they always end up hurting each other's feelings, whether through carelessness, misunderstanding, or conflict with themselves. If you don't love yourself, at least a little, if you don't create an armor of self-love and happiness around your heart, the weak interference caused by other people will be deadly and will destroy you. The first time I saw you, I made a pact with myself. I will avoid loving you, Alice, until you learn to love yourself. That's tough love. I will avoid loving you, because in truth I do, but you must love yourself. Let's meditate. Let's get comfortable. You may already be comfortable. You may want to take whatever might be in your lap out of your lap. Close your eyes if that feels right. Relax. Give yourself the gift of the present moment. Just let go. Just breathe together for a moment. We are one. And as we breathe, bringing that breath together, we feel our oneness as that breathing sinks up. In this moment, I want you to imagine. Imagine that we are all connected. Our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Picture a thread of light linking each of us one to another. This light is love. This love is our song. And now, using this analogy of music, being connected as we are, imagine if we all sang one song together, a song of love, a song of peace. Not a literal song necessarily, but a song from our hearts. A song of kindness, of understanding, of grace. Imagine if everyone, everywhere, participated and sang this one song. Think about how that would ripple out. And the power, the infinite power of those ripples. How tomorrow could be different. How the entire world could be changed. One note, one word at a time. As we breathe, let this song of love fill your heart, knowing that each time you choose peace, each time you choose love without taking it personally, you are contributing to this song. You are divinely good. You are made of love. You are connected to everyone around you. And when you live from this truth, you are contributing to the song of love and peace that can change the world. Because your voice matters. Take a moment to hear the melody in your own soul. It's a song of unity, a song of our divine essence, a song that can heal the world. And let's take this song of our souls, of kindness, of peace, of love, into the silence. If we all sing one song. One song of love, one song of peace, one song to make all our troubles cease, one hymn, one theme, one hope, one dream. Imagine what tomorrow would bring if we all sing one song.
Imagine what tomorrow